I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show's Hotel Mars Episode N. David Livingston, my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome the historian Roger Launius. He is retired as Associate Director for Collections and Curatorial Affairs. That means all the cool stuff at the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum, where you can witness the moon landing and all the various interactive exhibits, as well as all the other flight successes of the 20th century. Roger has a new book, however, to celebrate one particular flight success. That would be the moon landing of 1969. The book is Apollo's Legacy, Perspectives on the Moon Landings. Roger, a very good evening to you. Congratulations for this book. In publishing today, in the 21st century, how is it that people who were not with us 50 years ago think of the moon landing and the success of it? Good evening to you, Roger.
Well, thank you. Pleasure to be here. They may not think about it all that much, to be perfectly honest. It's receded into the background. Those of us like myself and you all who were alive at the time, it's very much a part of our experience. But for those that are younger, what they truly remember is the space shuttle program. And that was something that jazzed them in the same way the moon landings jazzed us.
Growing up in it, I don't remember very much about pop culture and cartoons and how Apollo 11 was depicted, but I know your book talks a lot about that. How was it viewed at the time in pop culture and political cartoons and some of the things that, for whatever reason, I don't recall?
Yeah, there is actually a lot of pop culture from the 1960s. The astronauts themselves were a part of that, making appearances on television shows like Ed Sullivan. And of course, younger people don't know who Ed Sullivan was, but that weekend variety show was must-watch TV, and pretty much everybody paid attention to that. Or Bob Hope and his specials with the astronauts showing up. And let's not forget the sitcom I Dream of Jeannie, in which an astronaut is depicted by Larry Hagman, and a comedy a set of experiences throughout that, in which on occasion astronauts made guest appearances.
Roger, let's entertain what I recall from 1969 as the frustration of all of us that we wanted to go on, not just land on the moon, but move on to Mars, move on to planetary exploration. In reviewing what happened in 69 and then the years after the Nixon administration, what was it that diverted America's attention from the great success of the moon landing? Was there a single event? Was it Vietnam? Was it Watergate? Or was it some other distraction?
It wasn't just a singular event that sidetracked more aggressive space activities. You know, it's important to understand that in the 1961 time frame, when John Kennedy announced the decision to go to the moon by the end of the decade, he was responding to a political problem and a geopolitical problem with the Soviet Union. The result of that was we were willing to expend enormous resources, or in reality, when you think back on it, it's not all that much. The official NASA figures for the cost of the moon program in 1960s dollars is $25.4 billion, which is a bargain at, you know, 20 times that price. But nonetheless, it was viewed as expensive. And most politicians by the end of the decade, it really was about the politicians more than anything else, they are viewing this as, okay, we accomplished this task, but we have proven our point, and we don't need to necessarily do much beyond that. NASA, of course, had very broad plans. It formed under the auspices of the Vice President, Spiro Agnew, in 1969, a space task group, and that undertook a study to find out what's next in space in terms of humans. And it had a very aggressive set of recommendations, building a reusable spacecraft that could fly back and forth to an orbiting space station, using that station as a jumping-off place to a moon base and ultimately a trip to Mars. All that should sound very familiar to space people.
Sure.
Because that's been an agenda for a long time. The Nixon administration was totally unwilling to go for all of those pieces. And it asks the question, what can we do that does not require the others. And the answer to that was a space shuttle. That's what they ended up moving forward with.
Back then, not everybody obviously was on board, and there were many people. I do remember the arguments about this being a waste of money. And we seem to have a lot of the arguments going on that are the same today. It almost makes me think we haven't changed much from 1969 to where we are today with our current efforts to go to a moon. Do you see a whole lot of difference between back then and some of the arguments to and against going to the moon today, or are we really sort of in the same place?
Well, we're mostly in the same place. There's a set of public opinion polls from the 1960s that basically finds that when you ask the question to the public about are we spending too much to go to the moon, the answer is pretty much yes most of the time. And that's just the person on the street. There were people in the political arena who had specific agendas and suggested that it was a bad idea because of money that they could have spent on social programs or the military or whatever else there might be. But when you ask the larger question, do you like Apollo? Do you approve of it? Overwhelmingly, the public says yes. And that suggests to me that, and it's not unlike today, we like lots of things. We just don't want to pay for them. And that was true for Apollo, and I suspect you do get the same answers today when asked about NASA and its expenditures. But if you ask about a specific program or effort that's underway at NASA, you get sort of overwhelming support.
I note David's pointed me to a new AP poll done with a center about the American opinions of a space exploration. And the results are striking in that there's little interest in going to the moon or to Mars or to search for life on other planets. There's great interest in conducting research on the sun and the Earth that would reflect the global warming theory, and also looking at asteroids that could ruin a day in Paris. So that what we have is the polling today showing Americans ready to be educated, Roger, but I think that there needs to be leadership. We need to do a mission to educate people about what it's like to explore space with manned programs.
Well, I mean, that could be an objective. Our problem, of course, is that in a publicly funded environment, as we are, for Congress to agree to undertake a moon mission or a Mars mission, or you name the mission of your choice, there has to be enough political will to carry that forward. And that's the number one thing I've been harping on for years, is that there just does not seem to be the political will. And Congress and, political leaders, whether they're in the White House or Congress or someplace else, would be aboard if the public was in favor of this. Right. And they're just not showing much support, so neither are the members of – or neither are their elected representatives.
David?
One of the things that's really different this time around than from Apollo is the really strong private sector and the alternative launch vehicles, which are lower in cost to operate, and the billionaires that are putting their money on the line to do things in space, including getting to the moon. Do you see those changes as being strong enough to take us to the moon now and finally break this sort of decades old of not doing anything?
Well, let me just say they are necessary but not sufficient to carry this off. You can name the entrepreneur of your choice who have put their own money into this, and they can do so up to a point. But they can't do it indefinitely. So what's it going to cost to undertake a human mission to Mars, for instance? I don't know what those numbers are, but, it's pretty high. And even entrepreneurs who are very wealthy will only do this for so long until they see some sort of a return. And that we haven't found a way to square the business case on yet. I'd love to see it happen. And I think we have more capability now than we had, say, 25 years ago. But I still don't see that as the driver that's going to push us over the top. There's really going to have to be some serious, public treasury money to make this happen, too.
Roger Launius is the author of Apollo's Legacy, Perspectives on the Moon Landings. He is, after many years, the man who has been in charge, part of the wonderful collection at the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum. I urge everybody to visit that museum when they're in Washington, D.C. This is David Livingston, a Dr. Space of the Space Show, and this is Hotel Mars, Episode N.